Earlier this month, the Denver Post became the latest newspaper to announce it'll make deeper staff cuts. When these layoffs are completed, the Post staff is expected to be at fewer than 100 people. Some of the criticism for the changes is being leveled at the Post's owner, the hedge fund Alden Global Capital. So is the future of newspapers being determined by competition from the internet, fewer subscribers and advertisers, or equity investors who own the publications for non-journalistic reasons? Robert Kuttner, co-founder and editor of The American Prospect, recently co-wrote a piece called Saving the Free Press from Private Equity, and he's with me via Skype. Bob, how did we get to the point where these hedge funds or equity investors had decided that small and mid-sized newspapers were worth their time for the potential for quick profits?
It's a very good question, and I think you have to put that in context because private equity companies will scoop up anything if they think that there is cash flow to be extracted. That describes Toys R Us. It describes nursing homes. It describes anything with cash flow where an ordinary proprietor would plow a lot of the cash back into the enterprise to keep it solvent, whereas the whole private equity model is to extract as much cash flow as you can. And then if the thing goes under, by the time it goes under, you have gotten more than your original money out, and you've also reaped a windfall. And so in the period when the old newspaper model of lots of advertising and a 25 or 30% rate of return and something close to a monopoly in the classifieds was going down the drain because of the internet, a lot of newspapers were on sale for cheap, and the private equity people saw an opportunity.
Now, your piece, Saving the Free Press from Private Equity, was written with an anonymous journalist who had experienced some of this at a paper. And I don't know how much of this sort of general thing you can share, but I'd love our listeners to know if there were some examples that stood out to you that really indicate and are specifics as far as what happened to a particular newspaper or series of newspapers on a day-to-day basis based on this sort of investment.
You know, here's the funny thing. This person reached out to me because I had done a lot of writing about private equity. And he said, I think I've got a terrific story for you. And I said, hey, I've got an offer for you. Why don't we write this together? So we gave him a pseudonym, Hildy for Hildy Johnson and Zanger for John Peter Zanger. He is working for a small city newspaper that has a great heritage that has just been bled dry. I think right now the entire paper is put out by two or three people who double as editors, writers. So you can just imagine the quality of the journalism in this community, what doesn't get covered. I mean, they write stories from press releases. And anything that takes the least little bit of enterprise, the least little bit of digging, they can't do because they don't have the staff. And they don't have people to answer the phone. So if your subscription is awry, you can't even find somebody to clean it up, and they don't even get a look at the layout. That's all done by a centralized office. This is a gatehouse property, and this is one of the ways that gatehouse saves costs. So you took a situation which was kind of iffy to begin with, the fact that the old model of newspapers making a lot of money off of advertising, but plowing a lot of it back into the newspaper, was blown away by the internet. And then you just pour oil on the flames. You make a bad situation even worse because you've got stripping assets, stripping money. So even newspapers that had been limping along, you know, are now in wheelchairs.
Would you like to see restrictions in place in some way, some reforms put in place so that there were limitations on who could purchase these?
Well, I think the reforms need to be directed at private equity per se, and private equity exists really because of three loopholes in the law. The first loophole is that if you set yourself up as a private equity company, meaning that your stock is not generally traded by the public, you are exempt from all kinds of SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission disclosure requirements, and you can pretty much operate in the dark. The second loophole is that you are able to borrow money to acquire a property and then use that property as collateral for the very target that you're trying to acquire. And the third loophole is that it's all tax deductible. So if you got rid of those three loopholes, I think you would drastically slow down the game and you would shed some more light on what they're actually up to.
even if it's an unintended consequence, has anything good come out of this in the sense that were there any situations where some of these equity investors were looking at their bottom line and they ended up selling it back to people who actually care about newspapers in some of these smaller communities?
Well, a couple of good things came out of it. There were cases where these guys either miscalculated and lost money. And so in a few cases, some good local people did end up regaining control of a newspaper that had been through two or three private equity ownerships. In my state of Massachusetts, a great newspaper, the Berkshire Eagle, is now back in local hands after just being pillaged by private equity. And then you have some other cases that we wrote about in the American Prospect piece where we describe people who we call benign billionaires, people who have some civic sense of responsibility, have decided to acquire a newspaper because they think it's important that their community have a good newspaper, and they're willing to just have it break even or make just a little bit of a cushion.
Have other things popped up? Is it time to say that maybe in some ways that we can evolve from newspapers into something that is still journalistic and still important to the community?
I think public radio has done an amazingly good job at filling a vacuum and has also demonstrated that a public nonprofit entity could be creative and enterprising in ways that commercial radio never could have in a million years. I'm all in favor of these new media filling the vacuum, but I think there's no substitute for a newspaper, and it may be in 20 years that almost all newspapers will be online only, but they need to fulfill the function of a newspaper, whether they're print or whether online, and I think there will probably still be some legacy print newspapers.
Robert Kuttner is co-founder and co-editor of The American Prospect. We've been talking about his recent piece, Saving the Free Press from Private Equity. Bob, thanks very much for the conversation.
Oh, thanks for the great questions.